I guess those children's church slide, it was like a duck, right?
There's an echo.
It is off.
Is that better?
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, it's good to be here.
For those of you who are here visiting with us, we're really glad you're here, there's still an echo. But we're really glad you're here.
And if there's anything we can do to serve you, any way we can help you, we stand ready to do that. And if you have some time after service today, stick around and let us get to know you a little bit. We're just really glad you're here, and it's good to see you. I appreciate Brother Rob and also Charlie McKinney filling in for me the last couple weeks. I know things went very well, and I appreciate those guys, and I appreciate being missed. It's good to be back. Just a couple of announcements before we get started. You know next Sunday is what? What is it?
VBS,
exactly. It starts next Sunday. Next Saturday at 3 o'clock, we're going to meet here to decorate the building. So if you can be here, please plan to be here. We'll be decorating the stage and some of the rooms. And so be here next Saturday at 3 o'clock to help out with that. Now, in years past, we have started VBS on Sunday night with a cookout. We're going to change that this year. This year, VBS will actually start on Sunday evening with our classes and our program, and then we will have a closing cookout Thursday evening. So the cookout will be Thursday, not Sunday, but be here Sunday evening for our classes and program. So everybody got that? When we make a change, we'll make sure we get it out there because we've done it that way for years. But looking forward to it. It's going to be about superheroes, and so it'll definitely interest the kids. Bring your kids, your grandkids. Go out and tell your neighbors to come. We want to fill this building up. We want this place to be full. We're ready for a whole bunch of kids here, so it's going to be great. What a great opportunity to reach those out there. We've been evaluating our lives as Christians in 2018. Where are we going? Are we heading in the direction that God wants us to go as Christians? Are we heading in the direction God wants us to go as a church? And we've asked ourselves this question all year. In 2018, am I growing in my faith or am I falling behind? And we've taken note that sometimes we get distracted. Does anybody ever get distracted? Is anybody distracted right now? Appreciate your honesty. It happens. We get distracted, right? We can be on one thought and then the next second something comes along and takes us in another direction. That happens in our walk with Christ as well. Sometimes this life throws things at us where we don't even know where to turn. We don't even know where to go. And we can even sometimes forget, even if we've been Christians for a long time, sometimes we even forget in our daily walk who Jesus is or what he's done for us. And so we need reminded. God knew we needed constant reminders, and he gives us those. This summer, we've been looking at the I am statements made by Jesus in the Gospel of John. We looked at Jesus' statement where he tells us, I am the bread of life. And next, we looked at his statement where he says, I am the light of the world. And last time I preached, we looked at his statement, I am the door or the gate. And today, we're going to look at his statement where he tells us, I am the good shepherd. I don't know about you guys, but when I look at Scripture and I see God constantly comparing us, his people, to a bunch of sheep, I get confused. And sometimes it's a little insulting, if I'm honest, with my pride, right? Does anybody else find that a little curious that he compares us, all of us people who have all the answers sometimes, to a bunch of sheep? And it's somewhat problematic because when you look at what sheep are, it's not very flattering, is it? They stink. You ever been in the fair to the sheep pen? It doesn't smell very well. It smells pretty good in here today, I think, right? I'm up here, though. No. But they don't always smell good, right? Sheep are not very cute once they're no longer babies. They're not great hunters. They have to be led around everywhere. I don't know of any institutions that uses a sheep as its mascot. It wouldn't be very intimidating for a stadium full of people to chant, "Bah," right? Just doesn't have the same effect as, I practiced that "Bah," by the way. That wasn't bad. Hope that got recorded. But sheep are known for being passive. They're known for being dumb. And we think, why are we compared with them? But when we look at it deeper, we see exactly why God compares us to a flock of sheep. Because sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need protected. They need guided. And as humans, we need that too. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter how long you've been at this Christian thing, you are being led by someone. Think about that. We are all being guided by someone or something. There are all kinds of people more than willing to guide us, aren't there? There are all kinds of things in this world willing to take us down certain paths, but the reality is not many of those paths are good for us. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And after this statement, Jesus goes on to say, by the way, I am the good shepherd. Why does Jesus say he's the good shepherd? Why does that differentiate him from all other shepherds? Well, the word good is a word that refers to one with a noble character, the good guy. Jesus is saying, I want to lead you. I want to be your shepherd, and you can trust me because I have good character. I have no ulterior motive. I have no hidden agenda. I want to lead you for your good. There's not many others out there, church, who want to lead us for our own good. So why does Jesus say he's the good shepherd? Verse 10 of John chapter 10 explains to us what he wants for us and what he's willing to give us when we follow him. He tells us, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Some translations say abundant. So let's examine this morning why Jesus is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing. Jesus is the good shepherd because, first of all, Jesus is fully committed to the sheep. No one expects a flock of sheep to be responsible for themselves, right? What would happen if a flock of sheep was just left out on its own? It'd die, right? Something would come along and attack it. It would eventually die of starvation or no water. Owners hire shepherds for that very purpose. And the job of a shepherd is to accept the responsibility of caring for the well-being and the safety of the flock. And most shepherds would do that as long as it didn't put their own lives at risk. Because most shepherds in charge of a flock of sheep would rightly decide that their lives are more valuable than the flock of sheep they're charged with guarding, right? I mean, we would make that decision if we were shepherds. But our shepherd is different, church. Our shepherd knowingly and willfully gave his life for us because he is fully committed to the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd because of his total commitment to us. Jesus says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He did it all for us. He did it all for the people in this room this morning. Let that sink in and make it a little more personal. And say to yourself, he did this for me. Amen, Steve, that's right. That's a big one. Jesus was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for us. And this is completely different. It is in contrast to those referred to as the hired hands. What's a hired hand do? He does a job, right? For which he gets paid. But Jesus is fully committed because he bought us with a price. We're told that in 1 Corinthians 7:23. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Jesus owns the sheep, so naturally, he's going to be committed to them. And when we become Christians, when we're baptized into Jesus, we belong to him. Now, when you own something, do you just kind of let it go and let it be to itself? Or do you take care of it? I remember when I turned 16, I wanted a car. And my dad said, I'll help you, but I'm not buying it for you. Because if I buy it for you, you're not going to appreciate it. Now, at 16, I didn't care for that lesson very much. But I've grown, the older I get, the smarter my dad has become. He always was all along, I know that. When we invest in something, when we buy it, when we care, when we do take all those steps to acquire it, then we want to take care of it. We want to know that it does well. We want to protect it. Jesus is fully committed to us because he bought us with a price, and he wants to give us that abundant life he talks about in John chapter 10, verse 10. But in John chapter 10, verse 12, we get a picture of what the hired hand will do. These hired hands could have been a reference to the religious leaders at the time, right? The Pharisees, who really had no investment in the flock. They were only in this to get what they could out of the other people. The hired hand is there to lead for a while, but when he sees the wolf coming, when he sees danger approaching, then he's going to get out of Dodge. He's going to leave the sheep behind. He's going to flee. And we know the wolf then scatters the sheep, snatches them, scatters them. The hired hand flees because he doesn't care about the sheep. There are those out there other than Jesus who will try to be our shepherds. They will try to lead us down the paths they want us to go, but they will not have our best interests in mind. It will not be to protect our hearts. And as soon as times get tough, those things are going to leave us high and dry. And they do that because they don't care about us. And it's not just other people. It's the stuff in our lives that pull us away from Jesus. Addictions and the love of money and stuff and work. Those things can pull us away from Jesus. They'll lead us. They'll suck the life out of us. And then once there's nothing else to get, they move on, right? Anybody ever been in a situation like that? We all have. It's kind of like the old vacuum salesperson. You'd sign up to sell vacuum cleaners, and once you sold a vacuum cleaner to everybody you know, then you got to move on, right? You've already farmed the area where you are, and it's time to move on. That's the way things in this world work. But these things that take us away from Jesus, those things, those individuals, they'll leave us high and dry once we give them all we have to give. But our shepherd, the one who wants to lead us, the one who saved us, offers us an abundant life. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus wants every person to come to him. Our God wants all people to be saved. And we all have a shepherd. The question we have to ask ourselves individually this morning, who or what is my shepherd? There are many people who will try to be your shepherd. Our lives may even reflect that at different stages, we have different shepherds that we're following. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 29, we read, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Do we have the faith that allows Jesus to be our shepherd, to follow his lead? Jesus is the good shepherd because he's fully committed to the sheep. And Jesus is the good shepherd because he has a special connection with all the sheep. We read in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Let me ask you this. Do you tend to give more love and attention to a person with whom you have a relationship versus somebody you don't know? We do, don't we? If I have a relationship with Christy, I'm going to give her more love and attention than I am somebody I've never met or maybe met for the first time. Verse 14 tells us the special connection, this relationship Jesus has with those who belong to him. But not only does Jesus have this relationship with believers, but he has a relationship with the Father. And he is our connection to the Father. It's through him we can have that relationship with God. Now, in New Testament times, the sheep would be put into the fold at the end of the day. And the shepherd would go along and inspect each sheep to make sure they were okay. And he would notice if a particular sheep had a scratch or a cut or a wound. And he would anoint their wounds with oil. He would take care of the problems that he saw they had endured that day. And he knew if a sheep looked different today than he did yesterday because he knew each sheep individually. It's even said that the shepherds named each sheep. He was with them all the time. If they acted different, he knew something was wrong. He could recognize that. And he knew them so well, he would name them. Well, God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Our shepherd knows all about us. And sometimes it's hard to get it through this thick skull, and maybe I'm not alone. Sometimes it's hard to get it to sink in that our faith is not based on do's and don'ts and rules and laws, but it's based on a relationship with Jesus. When we have that proper relationship with Jesus, then what we should do, we're going to do, and what we shouldn't do, we're going to avoid. But faith is not about religion. It's about a relationship. If it were all about religion and checking boxes and doing things, then the Pharisees would have had it all figured out, right? But it's about our heart, and it's about having a relationship with Jesus. The Pharisees were some of the most religious people there's ever been. But you know what Jesus called them? Whitewashed tombs. What's that mean? Well, it means on the outside, they're beautiful. They look wonderful. They're appealing. But on the inside, it's just a bunch of dead men's bones. 1 Peter 5, 6-7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." That is the love of your shepherd. That is the love of your Savior. Jesus didn't just sit up in an ivory tower on a throne of gold and pass down rules and laws and say, do this and don't do that. He came down to this earth and took on a human body. He mixed with people. He knew them. He touched them. He healed them. He loved them. He formed relationships with them. Jesus knows and loves all the sheep. Not just the ones who look like they have it all together. Not just the ones who are elite. Not just the ones who live in the United States of America. He loves all the sheep. Who are we to be any different? Our goal and our life's purpose is about following him. Jesus is the good shepherd, because he had a special connection, a relationship with all the sheep. And Jesus is the good shepherd because he desired to serve all the sheep. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Not only did Jesus serve the sheep, not only does Jesus serve the sheep, but he chose to do it. The Father loves him in part because he was willing to go to that cross. There's only one path to heaven. We've talked about this all the time. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you think a person who wants to do something is going to do a better job than a person who is forced to do something? You ever been forced to do something? And you just kind of halfway do it because you got to get it done, but you don't really. Anybody ever had a job? I'm not getting much participation here. It happens at work, right? When we're forced to do something, or when we do something reluctantly, then we're just doing it for completion. But when we love it, it becomes our life's work. It becomes something we do because we want to do it. Jesus was full of joy. His joy, even though he faced huge obstacles here on this earth, even though he lived a life that none of us would consider good or glamorous, even though he died a terrible death on that cross, he did that with his joy because he loved us. He did it willingly. He loved the sheep. He loved being with people. He loves his children. Jesus did what he did because he loves you. Galatians 1:3-4. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He gave himself. No one took Jesus' life from him. He gave it. He sacrificed it. When you want to do something, when something that you love, you're going to do it thoroughly. You're going to do it right. You see, Jesus was and is motivated to serve us out of love. Love can do so many things, but it is without a doubt the ultimate motivation. And Jesus is our example of perfect love. God loved you so much. I've heard people say God loved you enough to send his son. That's not right. God loved you so much, he sent his son to die on that cross, to raise from that grave, so that you could have eternal life with him. He knows your needs today. Sometimes we have great needs. Many times in this life we have needs so huge that we don't know where how they're going to be met, how it can even be possible that this will work out. Your shepherd knows your needs today, and he cares about them. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the shepherd of his sheep. The question, is he your shepherd? If he is your shepherd, are you following him? You know, the sheep only receive the benefits of the shepherd if they follow him, right? A sheep can't expect to be protected by the shepherd if he wanders off in another direction. But it's in following Jesus, the good shepherd, that we are cared for and protected. If Jesus is not your shepherd, you can change that today. There are many shepherds in this life. And as long as you're here on this earth, and as long as you have this moment, you can change shepherds. You can come to Jesus and confess he's your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins and be baptized in the waters of baptism, where you come up out of that water washed and new with God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Never underestimate God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Those needs we talked about earlier, God understands them. He's given you his Spirit. If he hasn't, he wants to. Won't you respond to that? Won't you come to him? If there's anybody here this morning who has a need, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.